let's start off. If I were to ask you a simple question, I'm going to just by a show of hands, how many of you believe that the Bible contains answers for problems in life and living? Quick show of hands. How many would say, yes, it certainly does? Okay. All right. I won't ask the opposite. I don't want to make anybody, single anybody out. I would suggest that if you go into a Bible-believing church almost anywhere and you ask that question, I call some of those questions Sunday school questions because they get Sunday school answers. And there are very few Sunday school answers. Do I believe the Bible? Another common answer is Jesus. You know, a teacher asks the question. You're not really sure what the question is, but you toss up the name Jesus and they go, okay, move on. You know, who wants to say Jesus is wrong? You know, you get Sunday school answers. I would suggest that many people say that that's what they believe. And yet, people that you know, people to whom you minister, and maybe you yourself, while you say, I believe it, if you were then confronted with the idea of, well, how do I get from saying, I believe that, to knowing what I need to do in this particular situation? Ask the pastor is not necessarily the right answer for that, is it? There are things that we, not that it's bad, it's just, you know, there are things that we can learn to come to study the Word of God. And that's what God has intended for us. Pardon me. We did speak last week about the purpose of the Bible. And the purpose of the Bible is that it is practical and it is to be used not merely as a study tool, not merely as, you know, a person might study archaeology and think it's interesting, but that we are to learn from it what God wants us to know to live in this life. And we might summarize that this way to say God wants us to know how to love God and to love our neighbor. If we take Jesus' summary of the whole Bible through the Ten Commandments down to the two great, this is what God's given us the Bible for. I realize this is very simple. And yet, how do I make that purpose a reality? When facing a difficult situation, how do we make that work? So last week I talked about an individual. And I'm going to just kind of expand on that illustration and change it a bit. We talked about something. I'm going to start calling him Christian, just like Christian and Pilgrim's Progress. We'll just call him Christian. And Christian is, last week we talked about what happens when you find yourself in a situation, you're working in a company, and lo and behold, you find that you have been cheating your clients. You know, you're doing something that's completely unethical. But let's back this up. Let's think about it this week in terms of Christian going to work and gets called in the supervisor and they have a grand new plan for how they can make more money. It's pretty tough in this pandemic time. They really need to get some more profit. And so they're really encouraging them to move in a new direction. And so in that new direction, the boss has asked Christian to take a plan, an idea they've got, develop the plan to make it work. And Christian kind of goes back to his office. He looks at it. And as he's reading through, he's got the ability. He can structure this project out. He can staff the project. He can monitor it. But he's fairly confident that when he does that, that they'll be cheating their customers. And that's an ethical problem. And so he's not positive, but he's fairly confident that that just might be the case. And he knows the Bible has answers. But how does he get from, I don't think this is ethical, to what do I need to do tomorrow with the Word of God? How does that help him in that particular situation? Well, let's just start off and look at a few passages that have been coming to his mind. When you think of the purpose of the Bible, here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 25:13, he realizes that you should not have in your bag differing weights, heavy and a light. In other words, you don't cheat the customers that you're dealing with. Deuteronomy 25:15, you have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Or from Proverbs 11:1, a lot of good wisdom there. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Or finally, Proverbs 20:23, diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. So he comes to the conclusion that, you know, from what I'm told, you know, I could do this, but in one sense, it might just be giving a dishonest weight and a measure. It's not ethical. But I'm not 100% sure. I need more information. but I'm kind of getting leaned on. I got to deliver this project. I have to go back in, and I got to let people know what to do come Monday. They want to know. So what does our friend do when he's stumped? What do you do when you suspect something may be right or wrong? You're just not 100% sure. You know, what biblical principles are there to help you in those times when you're not sure? I'm going to suggest one. And by the way, most of my stuff, I whenever I'm teaching on things that are anything near this, these kinds of topics, I always have to say, most of my stuff is good and original. It's just the original stuff isn't good and the good stuff isn't original. You know, I have teachers who've been very faithful, and I have learned from one of them in particular what he calls the holding principle. The holding principle. And the holding principle, we'd summarize in Romans 14:23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, there's a broad principle laid out here. This is not applied, although it arises from a particular situation. There's a little bit of broadness here. You know, he who or whoever does this, whatever, later. You know, there's a bit of a broad principle we can apply from here. And that might be this. You don't move ahead if you think you might be sinning. Not until you can figure that out. You know, that has application in a ton of ways, not just the one we're talking about. You know, I remember being in college, and many people were studying the Scripture in college, and there was something that they had grown up thinking was, you know, absolute sin, whatever it might be. You know, I used to use an example for that, like purple hair, but now people have purple hair, and so I don't want to, you know, cause a problem. That was kind of ridiculous when I first taught something about this, and they said, well, now we've got to change that one, right? So, you know, but whatever it might be, you know, somebody grew up thinking something was an absolute sin, then they started reading the Scripture and studying it and realized that's not what the Bible teaches. Knowing that, still inside, when somebody encourages them to participate in some activity, inside, their entire inside is telling them this is sin. And so they're having a little conflict between those two. Do you just go ahead and do something that inside you're certain is sin, but you're trying to tell yourself it's not? So there's a holding principle. When you're not sure, when you're not confident that something is not sin, then one holds. Now, one doesn't hold there forever. There's a lot of docks around here in the island. You have to get into a boat. If you've ever gotten into a boat, you know, you kind of end up at a certain point in time where, for briefly, one hopes, you have one foot on the dock and one foot in the boat. How many people want to try and, you know, have a conversation for an hour standing there like that? You know, this is not the best place to be, especially as the current starts pulling on the boat. You need to get on the dock or get in the boat. It's one or the other. And so when you're not sure about something, well, what do we need to do? Well, where are we going to find out how to be sure? Where are we going to find out if something really is pleasing or displeasing to God? I'm going to suggest probably the number one answer for most people is we talk to a friend. Not if you're in Sunday school. In Sunday school, there's a different answer. But if you're not in Sunday school, the prime answer is I talk to a friend. And it rather depends on how faithful your friend is going to be to the Scripture, doesn't it? Could we suggest maybe the next principle is this? I know I'm giving you really deep stuff you've never thought of before, right? Search the Scriptures. That's the first starting point. Now, if you're in our friend Christian's question that's in front of him, what areas of Scripture do you think you might want to search? Verses on what topics? Pardon? Money? Finances? Okay. How's about business, the things that relate to business and work? Does the Bible talk about that? God has a lot to say about that, doesn't it? What else? Integrity. The Bible has a lot to say about that. What else? Yes. Relationships. Yes. Personal responsibility. So you start to search the Scriptures to see what it's going to say on some of these things. Like in the area of business and work. It says that we ought to do our job heartily. Here's what Paul says when he's dealing with the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. In business and work, again, the idea that we saw in that verse, again, is emphasized, do it as unto the Lord. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 8, very verses I'm sure familiar with you, to you, it says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. You can kind of get a picture on why these are considered somewhat parallel epistles, right? Paul's saying a very similar message to both of them. And the message has to do with the way that we do our work. And so one answer, obviously, for a Christian is not, well, just slow, you know, cool your heels, slow the work down, make it draw out, maybe they'll forget. That wasn't the answer that the Scripture was going to give him. Let's move on to one of these other principles. We'll take it on. Authority. I want to talk about authority. And I'm going to just jump over this slide because we're going to deal with it again. So here we go. I think I put in twice. Let me just do this. Principle three, respect authority. Respect those who are in authority. That's a tough thing to do at certain times and in certain places, isn't it? I won't ask how many people have ever had somebody they were reporting to and you thought that maybe they weren't doing what was best, right, and good, and you couldn't run the business better. But God didn't put you in that place. And so you're serving, you're having to respect them from everything that we just read. But when we think about the authority that's around us, there are a couple things that we should remember that the Scripture does teach. And one of the things it teaches us relative to authority is this: we should honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the King. So just as a starting point, I know often as Christians, we like to start when we think about authority and jump right over to Acts 5:29. Which has to do with one we don't obey. You know, I don't have to obey this person. I need to obey God. And I bet I can find a way that I can make what I want to do line up with obeying God. No. What was the first thing? Honor all people. It just starts off here. The way, have this respect. Have respect for everybody. Not just the boss, but everybody. Love, in this case, brethren. Fear God. Honor the King. Show honor to this person that's put in authority. In other passages, we could spend more time on it, but in other passages, we can find places to talk about honoring our masters. And we just saw two passages that talk about serving those who are personal masters, which we would today probably put in the category in this country as employers. So one of the first things about authority that we'll face in this life is that there should be respect and honor really to everybody, just for the office they have. You know, there's a certain amount of respect that you give and care that you give to somebody just because they name the name of Christ, we're told. There's a certain amount of care and honor that we give to people because we fear God. And that includes those who are unsaved. So that's the first thing. There should be some general respect for those who are in authority. So we start off and we talk about the responsibility that we have learned we have to do at work. Secondly, we find out, well, what is the way that we should be approaching those that are in authority? And then here's another aspect of authority. I don't seem to have authority over the remote. Okay. That there are spheres of authority. Spheres of authority. And when I say that, what I mean is that all authority, like I don't have the remote, all of human authority is limited and derivative. All human authority. Those are two good words. I like to keep them together and keep them in mind. All human authority is limited and derivative. What's that second one mean? It's derivative. Where does your authority come from? It's not because of who you are. It is authority in this life is given by God. Who gave magistrates authority? God puts them in place. Who can put them up and take them down as he wishes? God can. The Scripture reminds us of that time and time again. That doesn't mean they're all wonderful people. It doesn't mean that the person who may be the governor of your state is somebody you'd like to have over for dinner, unless you really want to, you know, give her a piece of your mind. I mean, that's not what it means. But it does mean that there's an amount of respect and authority, respect for for the office that is to be given. And quite honestly, society ends up pretty bad if we just become an angry mob, which at times you wonder. The other part of it is that it's limited. Limited. When God put magistrates in place, he said, well, here's the things you're to be concerned about. Preservation of life, punishment of evil, etc. When God put, you know, masters in and employers in, God gives the, they have a certain God-given area of responsibility that has to do with their business and their work and what they're doing. And if you enter into a contract or a relationship with them, then you have that relationship. That doesn't mean they get to name your firstborn. Now, it doesn't mean that that authority extends beyond that. In a home, the parents, the responsibility of parents towards their children, which is largely being challenged these days, but in many ways, that's there's an authority that they have that no one else has. So there are spheres, little pockets of authority. They intersect at various times and places. I mean, when you talk about authority over your children, and if the government is to protect the life and well-being of people, then they're to respect, they're to protect your children as well from criminals, and probably not just release them every time they catch them. So moving on. This is an area where we can say there's limited authority, and when somebody is exceeding that, then we don't need to listen or to obey politely what was said. And here's a passage that probably we all think of, Acts 5:29. The apostles are before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin tells them and forbids them that they're to speak on behalf of God, and their answer is this. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. If you are being personally commanded to disobey what is a clear command of God, then you certainly have a responsibility to be able to say in that situation, no, this is not what I should do. Personal responsibility. What is... When we look at all of this, too often I think we're trying to solve some national dilemma. You know, what is our personal responsibility going forward? You know, here's Christian. He's at work. He's been asked to do something that if he did it, he thinks he would be participating in sin. He may not have the responsibility to stop an entire company. It may not be his role, but he certainly has a responsibility for the part he's going to play in that. And so a personal responsibility you might think of that are here. You can't control everything. But there are some things that one should seek to control. I'm going to see what comes up here first. There we go. Yeah. Ephesians 4:15. Here's the first one. Speaking the truth in love, that he may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, even Christ. So as a starting principle, walk in and we spend time. How do we talk? We speak the truth in love. Christian has to go in. He's going to have to explain the things he's been studying, the things that he knows so far that have left him uncomfortable being part of this issue. And as he explains that, he needs to do it in a loving way. He needs to speak what's true. I think this would lead us into a problem. And say it with respect, with kindness, with care. Probably this will be Romans 13:10. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. If we're to love one another, and we're even to love our neighbors, which would probably include your employer, right? Part of that love with them is not to seek to harm them. Now, we all know an employer could harm an employee. Can an employee do harm to an employer? Yep, in lots of ways. That's not an option for a Christian. Not an option to try and make the company look bad, not an option to run it down, not an option to run his boss down in front of other employees, etc., etc. And then, I think I've got one more here. Let's see. Yeah. Romans 12:18, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So let me kind of bring some of this together. You're going to try and maintain peace. You're going to speak respectfully. You're going to put your gun and say the truth. What might that look like? Based on all of the things that we just been looking at in Scripture, our answer is probably going to be something like going to the boss and saying something like this. You know, I've got an issue here. I'm uncomfortable. Let me try and explain why. I'm wondering won't our customers wonder about this too? I'm wondering about it. Aren't they going to wonder about this? You know, what's the position our company going to be in 5 years if we've been doing this? And these things come out. Can I suggest an alternative? Those are easier ways. They're simpler ways to go about bringing that before a person when you're in that situation. So, a number of principles. One has to do with holding. One has to do with searching the Scripture. One has to do with our responsibility. What the responsibility is, limited and derivative. And then we have a personal responsibility as we go back and deal with this. Now, I started off by saying, okay, so the Bible, the Scriptures, you know, they have a practical purpose. Today, we're kind of beginning to talk about what's the process. How does this actually go from saying, well, I believe the Bible, and I believe it's got answers, to actually, what is the answer in this circumstance? But, of course, presupposed in all of this is that Christian knew, well, you know, it's, when I read the Bible, I've got to study what the Bible says on this topic, and this topic. And then I need to put into practice this idea of holding, and I need to put into practice this and this. How does he know all those things? I mean, you talk to average person about some issues like this with the Bible, and an average Christian will often say, I didn't know the Bible has that in it. I didn't know the Bible said those things. How do we change that? That's one of the things we're going to talk about in upcoming weeks, as well as once we find the verses, how do we interpret them appropriately, and then how do we apply them appropriately. So there'll be little bits of that as we go through coming up. And with that, I think we're probably out of time, but if you want to turn the mic off, we'll take time for questions too, or comments. Yes, Jerry.
Yeah,